Okay, well, thank you very much for not having siesta now and coming here. I hope I don't encourage your siesta needs. Well, this session is about, as you see, dreaming the user-centered desktop. In fact, I wanted to stress the fact of the really user-centered desktop. We might think that just because we sit on the front of our desktop is already being user-centered, but I will try to explain why I think it's not and how could be one of the possible ways to make it more user-centered and also why. What's this here? Well, it's a quite recent picture. This is my son, and basically I spend a lot of time with him because we are one of those trying to be more than couples, you know, where we share efforts and everything. And well, I mean, it makes me think a lot about what's the future. I was thinking about that before having a baby, but you really start thinking seriously about future when you have this kid around you. So generally, I do have other types of thoughts, no? Not just free software on my son. No, I mean, I try to disconnect, it's quite healthy. But many times while using GNOME, free software, etc., I think, and how all this will be when, I mean, the first time he is actually playing with, well, not playing, just using a device, because I don't even know if it's a computer or a laptop. And so this is why the one in the left side, it's me. So he was waiting for bring some water, you know. I'm a journalist. I didn't study computer science. Please be, you know, a bit flexible with me. I've tried to summarize history of computing in the 20th century. I think the whole thing was about trying to help humans get results. And this is so basically. Okay, I see. There's a bit of lag. Good. So basically. The people that started building computers, they tried to help people, humans. And so they started producing machines, hardware, and making this hardware work with data using software and all this being operated by users. Going a bit more into detail, the hardware, note one, please be flexible with definitions. Then they started building like protocols. So how pieces of plastic, metal, etc., ended up talking between them and collaborating to do something like drawing a circle, things like that, you know? So how the monitor, the keyboard, the printer was kind of fitting together. About the data, they ended up, you know, producing several formats. Put some quite modern here because I'm not that good in computer history. I'm sure you know some more ancient. But anyway, text, JPEG, OX, etc., many, many, many formats. About users, users were basically defined by permission level. What can you do? What cannot you do? You are a user and a password, all that. That was a person when talking to a computer. So we got the something like the root, the admin, sudoers, and just normal users, et cetera, et cetera. And basically about the software, well, you know, kind of flexible definition as well, but basically we get an operating system and then applications to do stuff. So this is more or less the map. Let's see if it's true. Okay. Then at some point someone said, phew, why don't we try to make something a bit more abstract? Let's see that hardware, data, users, and software are still something quite, they correspond to something more or less real. But from that point, the rest is kind of abstraction. You know, the only concept of desktop, it's an abstraction. You see, this is a desk. Well, it's a good table, actually. But this is a desk, and this is a computer. And computers, when the time the first desktops were built, were quite different. So someone came with a metaphor of the desktop, and we're still using that word. I mean, normally we are using it all the time, basically. And the graphical user interface. So people could interact with all these elements in a quite a simple way. And then also at some point, or before or after, you know, it's quite, we are in a margin of 20 years or so, appeared the local networks and the internet that basically multiplied all this schema. No, so that was on a single machine, and then we had other pieces of hardware that also needed to interact between them, more types of users, remote, local, et cetera, et cetera. So basically, the networks and the internet, local and online internet, added the same, more or less the same structure, but multiplied. And, well, and as you know, the conjunction of both concepts with the thing of the desktop brought us the World Wide Web and the browsers, which are next to the graphical desktop, possibly nowadays the browsers are the second elemental piece of what people understand about using computers nowadays. At some point, GNOME was launched, not with this logo, and this is why we are all here. Not trying that the GNOME desktop kind of makes the abstraction of everything in a way that a user doesn't need to care about much of those things that technical people knowing what's going on behind the scenes they know. So ideally, the kind of user we're thinking now in GNOME is a user that can play and work with their computer without knowing that much about protocols, formats, permissions. I mean, if you see the evolution we're doing in every release goes in a way for doing all this even more simple and working all this abstraction. And this is one of the debates within GNOME and types of users within GNOME and other desktops, etc. No, how much you should forget about kernel drivers, the hardware, and or how much you need to care only about what you do and what you want to do, etc. So then basically, let's say that in the history of computing in the 20th century, where computing was trying to help humans get results, so send an email, print a document, listen a song, GNOME could be defined, I'm not going to get into the big debate of what is GNOME, but could be defined as a graphical interface of a system. Well, it's lacking, maybe it's because of fonts or something, it's lacking one of those, I don't know what it's called in English, you know, that sign of more or less, approximately, my computer. So GNOME tries to be more or less my computer, an interface of my computer. So, and here we go. You've got the happy GNOME user of the 20th century, you know? Okay, good. Let's see. 2006, oh my God, we've got already 6 years or five, this is a long discussion, of 21st century. What are we doing now? So you see the happy GNOME user we saw before, you know, trying to be a good father. And then we have here the new generation. Let's see what this new generation can expect or can do. Let's see a potential story of computing, 21st century. I'm not trying to be a guru. I never believed in gurus. I just have a wish, and then I convert this wish in a possibility, as easy as this, you know. To talk is, in fact, easy. In this potential history of computing, 21st century, possibly, or it will be nice at least, that the definition of what's computing about is to improve people's activities and relations. Getting actions done, well, it's good, but what for? And we are going to see a bit more of that. So in this context, let me just make a comparison of what we've got before. You remember, we started with the hardware because, in fact, at the beginning of this history, they had to build something, you know, something you can put some electricity and generate something. So they had to start with the hardware, but now we've lost that origin. The hardware is here and there, and we play with it. So now it's not it's not the most relevant thing. It's not, or it should not, what conditions the development. So before it was like, oh, look, now we can build processors that 2 million calculations, I don't know. So now we can do this, this, and that. Still nowadays, we are seeing that all the 3D graphic stuff depends on new computers and new developments based on hardware capabilities. But, well, basically, if we are really thinking about the users basically care about people, and especially most of them, of us, about me, first of all, you know, like in the airplanes, you know, save yourself, and when you are safe, then help others. So people and me, instead of users, you know, users. It's people and me. Formats. Well, I've got stuff, you know. I've got things in my hard drive, and I've got also a website, and I've got things uploaded there. And it can be really many, many, many things. I'm not that good at English, but stuff was the most precise word I could find for that. I mean, I'm happy to receive any feedback about that. And then, stuff. I mean, really stuff, you know? Content, if we say content, it's like talking about formats, things like that, you know? I go to the street and I say content or contenidos or contingos, and people say, so do you mean something like a bottle or so? You know, stuff is something everybody more or less understands, even if it's a vague definition. And also about, well, hardware. Basically,